The order itself was not immediately available, making it impossible to see the judge's rationale or the precise contours of the restrictions. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan, who is presiding over the federal case charging Donald Trump with plotting to overturn the results of the 2020 election, had temporarily lifted the gag order as she considered the former president's request to keep it on hold while he challenges the restrictions on his speech in higher courts. But Judge Tanya Chutkan agreed to reinstate the order after prosecutors cited Trump's recent social media comments about his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. They said these represented an attempt to influence and intimidate a likely witness in the case. The order is a fresh reminder that Trump's penchant for incendiary and bitter rants about the four criminal cases that he's facing, though politically beneficial in rallying his supporters as he seeks to reclaim the White House, carry practical consequences in courts of law. Two separate judges have now imposed orders mandating that he rein in his speech, with the jurist presiding over a civil fraud trial in New York issuing a monetary fine last week. A request for comment was sent on Sunday to a Trump attorney, Todd Blanche. Trump, in a social media post late on Sunday, acknowledged that the gag order was back in place, calling it not constitutional. Donald Trump's lawyers have said they will seek an emergency stay of the order from the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for Washington, D.C. Circuit. The defense has said Trump is entitled to criticize prosecutors and speak truth to oppression. Trump has denied any wrongdoing in the case. He has made a central part of his 2024 campaign for president, vilifying special counsel Jack Smith and others involved in the criminal cases against him, casting himself as the victim. Prosecutors have said Trump's verbal attacks threaten to undermine the integrity of the case and risk inspiring his supporters to violence. Jack Smith's team said Donald Trump took advantage of the recent lifting of the gag order to send an unmistakable and threatening message to his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. CBS News has learned is extensively cooperating with Jack Smith's investigation. On Tuesday, ABC News reported that Jack Smith granted Mark Meadows immunity to testify under oath, but Meadows' lawyer, George Tellwittiger, told CBS News, "I told ABC that their story was largely inaccurate. People will have to judge for themselves the decision to run it anyway." He declined to discuss the investigation with CBS News. CBS News has so far not confirmed that Mark Meadows has received immunity in exchange for his testimony. The former president mused on social media about the possibility that Mark Meadows would give testimony to Jack Smith in exchange for immunity. One part of the post said, "Some people would make that deal, but they are weaklings and cowards, and so bad for the future of our failing nation. I don't think that Mark Meadows is one of them, but who really knows?" National broadcaster NBC News has also covered the same story. A gag order in the federal election interference case against former President Donald Trump was back in effect on Sunday, 29th of October, after the presiding judge ended her pause on the order. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan had granted Trump's defense team an administrative stay, meaning the gag order was on hold while the defense pursued an appeal. But on Sunday, 29th of October, Judge Tanya Chutkan signed an opinion that lifted her 20th of October stay, essentially putting the gag order back into effect. The order prohibits Donald Trump from making statements about potential witnesses or disparaging remarks about the prosecutors. Special Counsel Jack Smith's team asked for the gag order to protect the integrity of the trial and the jury pool from being influenced by Trump's statements about the case, which was filed in U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. Trump's legal team did not immediately respond to a request for comment. In a statement on social media platform Truth Social, the former president said, The corrupt Biden administration just took away my First Amendment right to free speech, not constitutional. Trump has frequently argued without evidence that this and other state and civil cases against him are part of attempts by President Joe Biden to thwart his effort to return to the White House as the probable Republican presidential nominee next year. Judge Chutkan has said he can continue to express that opinion as subject matter that is outside the scope of the gag order. Judge Tanya Chutkan's gag order said that testimony cited by the government demonstrates that when defendant has publicly attacked individuals, including on matters relating to this case, those individuals are consequently threatened and harassed. Trump's attorneys had said the order was overboard and would result in his suffering irreparable injury to his First Amendment rights. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. Donald Trump was once again bound by the gag order in the federal criminal case charging him with conspiring to overturn the 2020 election results, after a judge on Sunday, 29th of October, reinstated restrictions prohibiting him from attacking prosecutors, court staff, and potential trial witnesses. The U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan also denied the former president's request to suspend the gag order indefinitely while his lawyers appealed in courts of law. Trump has been granted a reprieve when the judge temporarily lifted the gag order while she considered that request. Prosecutors argued last week that the order should be reimposed after Donald Trump took advantage and posted a slew of inflammatory statements. The statements included Trump's repeated attacks on the special counsel Jack Smith, whom he called deranged, and Trump's comments about the testimony that his former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows had provided to the grand jury during the criminal investigation. Prosecutors argued that each of Trump's statements were exactly the sort of comments that the order was designed to prevent, including intimidation or influencing witnesses who could wind up testifying against him at trial and weighing on the substance of their testimony. The defendant has capitalized on the court's administrative stay to, among other prejudicial conduct, send an unmistakable and threatening message to a foreseeable witness in this case, prosecutors said in their brief. Unless the court lifts the administrative stay, the defendant will not stop.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
A Muslim lady. You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of your own program, Muslim Lady. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Asma. I have the honor to be your host once more. And here we have Sister Zainab with us. Assalamu alaikum, sister. And
alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So, previously on Muslim Lady, we talked about visual betrayal, and then we got to the point that we have to protect ourselves from the very first step. And the first step starts from the eyes, from the gazing stuff that we have. So we should lower down our gazes. We should be careful about where we're looking at and with what intention we're looking at. So the innocence of the eyes are very important. And I guess still there are some more of things to know about this looking things, this eye thing.
We're talking about controlling the gaze. Mm-hmm. Because as you mentioned in the previous episode, it could happen. We are human beings and, things come up. But now that the important thing is how do you control, how you have control over it. So the first thing that we discussed was look at the consequences, reflect on the consequences if you avoid mm-hmm. looking at something that you are really wanting to look at. So also look at the consequences of this world and also look at the consequences of that world. The second point is now reflect over the drawbacks of not avoiding the forbidden sights in this world and the hereafter. So in the previous point, we said reflect on if you avoid it, what could be the consequences? And now in this episode, I want to say look for the consequences if you do not avoid. There was this wealthy man who led a life of luxury and he never paid much attention to God. He often was indulged in the worldly pleasures and was staying outside his house one day. At that moment, there was a lady searching for a well-known bathroom, which was called Minjanib. And she lost her way and grew weary from wandering. And then she scanned the surroundings in the hopes of finding someone to ask for the directions. And she finds this man sitting there. Approaching him, she inquires, "Could you please tell me the way to Minjanib bathroom?" The man with the bad intent gestured towards his own house and replied, "It's right here." Then, believing that the bathroom was inside his house, the lady entered. The man promptly closed the door behind her and made an inappropriate advice. Now, look at the other part of the story. Realizing that she was trapped by this lustful man, the woman restored herself to trick and said, "I'm tired and I need a bath. Would you kindly fetch some perfume and food so that we can dine together and then I'll be at your service?" The man agrees and goes and arranges these items. And upon his return, he finds that she has escaped from his home. He felt deeply sad.
So even in those times, there were such tricks.
Yeah, so this man feels deeply sad and the desire of this adultery remains in his heart. He often recited these words after that. Like, he went into this kind of depression. What happened to that very woman who asked, "Where is the Minjanib bathroom?" He would often recite these lines in the poetic form. And then time passed and this man eventually feels ill. And the, neighbors gather, friends gather, and they are reciting Kalima for him. They are trying to make him, get used to there's no God but Allah, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is his messenger, in the hopes of comforting him, during his final moments. But strangely, instead of uttering these sacred words, the man continues to recite the same lines about the woman.
Yeah.
In this state, he breathes his last. So that's what I was telling, also has the consequences in this world and also has the consequences in that world. Also, Imam Sadiq al-Islam, who says that the gaze is one of the poisonous arrows of shaitan. Whoever forsakes it out of Allah's fear, he will be rewarded with a faith whose sweetness will relish in his own heart.
Yeah, so just let's take a moment of contemplation on the story you just said and go for a short break. Welcome back, dear ladies. You're listening to Muslim Lady. I'm Asma, your host. It's your service. And then we have Sister Zainab with us while we're talking about visual betrayal and how to control our gazes and how to control our eyes. Well, previously in the previous episode, I told you about a poem, but I forgot to read the last part of that poem. The poet was complaining about his eyes and about his heart and the desires of these two that has entangled him like so strongly. So in the end, he says that I finally would create a knife and then gouge my eyes out and then free my heart from the terrible that my eyes are getting my heart into. So you see, if I always say that the blind people maybe are counted as the kind of people who have less sins than the others.
Right.
Because they do not see many things. And many sins start with gaze, with just a simple gaze that has been directed to a direction that is not suitable for you to look
now
at.
Now you will be very amazed with this hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he gives a kind of comparison. You know, in his last sermon, this is narrated by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, quoted from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if someone stares at the neighbor's home with the intention of like looking at the body of the non-mahram, and then God will enter him into the hell with the hypocrites who were always looking for people's faults in this world. See the comparison. Like if you're looking at something indecent, you're as if you're looking at somebody's fault.
Yeah.
And he will not leave this world until God disgraces him, and also in the hereafter.
That's another aspect.
Will
as well.
Reveal his faults to the people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to be training and discipline your ears mm-hmm. and eyes, our minds.
And why we get ourselves into troubles, we shouldn't have to from the very first step, from the very start. When you can control something by controlling your emotions, by controlling your eyes, your ears, your mouth, then why not?
Our minds and imaginations are basically influenced and greatly influenced by what we see
exactly.
and what we hear.
Yeah.
You know, by controlling these senses, if we control what we hear and what we see, we can more effectively manage our desires.
That's very true.
So building self-control is very, very important. Then ask yourself a very important question. Who gave you these beautiful eyes?
Allah, of course.
And God blessed you with them, you know. And are you using them to commit sins?
Of course, he has given them to me to use them as a
like,
blessing.
Ask this question to yourself.
Yeah.
Often ask this question to yourself. And then remember your goal. Your eyes are meant to see the nur of Imam Zamaat, Jallaha Ta'ala Faraja. So do not squander them in the immodest sights.
Exactly.
Do not, your eyes are not meant for something like indecent.
Exactly.
Your eyes are meant for something far more noble.
Mm-hmm. So since these eyes have been given to you as a blessing from the one who's your Lord, then these eyes are meant to see sacred things, are meant to see beautiful things. Then again, it could be considered as a betrayal to your Lord.
Right.
If you look at indecent things.
And you will be asked about each and every blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given
you.
Yeah. Eyes are one of them. Eyes are the most beautiful.
The thing is that
blessings.
In the other world, each of these body parts would talk of themselves alone. So they
yeah.
would not give me the time to justify situations.
Right.
And they themselves would say the truth. Yeah, so there's a lot to digest. So let's go for a short break to see what we are coming to see next.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So, the story of the eyes and how much our heart suffers from that. Yes, this is Muslim Lady. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. And this is the finalement, the last part of today's episode.
Yeah, so we were saying how to control your gaze.
Yeah.
Whenever possible, try to avoid the places where there's excessive presence of non-mahrams, you know. Because the more we expose ourselves to non-mahrams, the forbidden sites, even the movies, or other things, it becomes harder to resist.
Yeah.
It becomes harder to control. So it's better to avoid that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And always maintain this belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you at each and every step of your life. In Surah Hadid, it's very beautifully stated, He is with you wherever you are. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَسِيرٌ Allah sees all that you
exactly.
do.
Exactly. And there is not a scene from my life that gets away from His eyes.
Right. You know, whenever something comes to our, temptation comes to our mind, we should immediately focus our attention on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we can, this could be a great victory. We could, we should not take any sin lightly. Like, I should not say, it was a small case and it's okay. It's not okay. Don't
exactly.
take it lightly.
It's not okay.
And it's necessary for you to refrain from even makruhat. Like you would say, don't wait for if I go to, so you know, if you go to a top edge of a hill, don't say, now I will fall. Try to be a meter away, a 2 meters away, wherein there's less chance of falling down.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's
just to take all the precautions.
Right. It means like do not even go for makruhat.
Exactly.
Do not even go for those what we have been told to avoid these things. And always do a calculation at night whenever you sleep. Whenever you find any mistakes that you did throughout the day, ask for forgiveness. Read about the pious people. Read about the martyrs. And, you know, install some beautiful sentences, beautiful hadiths on your walls and try to change them time to time with newer sentences. Reading these sentences every day would actually make you aware, keep your that, you know, mm-hmm. inner insight
yeah.
awake.
To be actually conscious about what you're doing.
Right. So always remember, eye is one of the ways of entering information from the outside world and feeding the human psyche. The religious personalities have taken care of this organ with the help of Quran and the Hadith and have warned the believers against the dangers of using it inappropriately.
Exactly. And by the way, the things that we're talking about, the eyes, could be applied to the ears as well. It could be applied to your hands, could be applied to your mouth, could be applied to all the body parts that you have.
Everything starts with the eyes.
Yeah, but everything starts with the eyes. That's why we're talking about it.
That's why we actually give a more importance on this
yeah.
topic of, you know, starting with the
and
eyes.
And as we said, it's not just men. Even
it's
women.
It's also women. Because
yeah.
women are also human beings. So you have to stop yourself at the very beginning from your eyes. So, you know, just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur does not only tell Muslim men to lower their gaze. Once He orders, commands Muslim men to lower their gaze, immediately He commands Muslim women to lower their gaze.
Exactly. And, you know, there's this saying that says, when you are in a cold weather and there are different doors that are opened, the best and the most logical way to protect yourself from the cold is to close the doors.
Close the doors.
Close
yeah.
the doors before the wind gets in.
Beautiful.
So that's the most logical way to treat it. Yeah, I know. It's very difficult to actually be a pious person. It's very difficult to be virtuous. It's very difficult to stay committed to the submission that you have towards Allah. But at the same time, it's not impossible. We as human beings have got an intention. Then if we work for it, Allah would be with us and would help us, would double our intention with goodness and blessings. So this was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you just enjoyed it. I leave you to God's never-slipping eyes. May He protect you every time. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, how about listening to a general advice from the model of magnanimity and the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. When you gain power over your adversary, pardon him by the way of thanks for being able to overpower him.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Israeli occupation jails.
Part 1.
اليوم كانت لنا زيارة للسجن سجن رومون.
Today we visited Rumman prison. We left the house at 3 o'clock. The ICRC bus picked us up at 4. Then the ICRC officers checked and gave us permits. They coordinated our visit and gave us some instructions about behaviors and meals to avoid a security search. The children rejoice that they're going to see their father for the first time. For example, my little son Mohannad has never seen his father. Mohannad does not even know him. We had been promised that all the children will meet their father. Unfortunately, Mohannad was allowed to meet his dad, but his brother wasn't. The little child started crying. We begged them to let him go with his brother, but they turned a cold shoulder.
I love my dad. I miss him so much. I asked them for an hour to enter, but the Israelis refused. I was looking forward to hugging him.
The ICRC staff did their best to help us by all means. They relieved my fears of the visit. Honestly speaking, I was afraid and did not want to go. I refused the visit, but later when I met Abu Said, who came with the ICRC officers, I became quiet and calm. I thought that whatever happened in the prison would be safe with the ICRC officers.
ICRC is coordinating with Palestinian and Israeli authorities in order to allow Gazan detainees to receive visits from their families. During family visits, ICRC staff is always present at Els checkpoint in order to facilitate the crossing.
The story begins here. A Palestinian family rejoiced in releasing his son from the Israeli occupation jails after 23 years of imprisonment.
I was very optimistic about being included in the first list of prisoners to be released. I spent 23 years in the prison and had to spend another 2 years of the sentence. I was not surprised so much by the release, but I was absolutely excited about it. But I wish the list had included some brothers of mine in the prison who were sentenced to life imprisonments rather than releasing me. Anyway, it was my destiny to be free, thanks Allah. When they brought us from the prison to Gaza and we found such a reception at Erez Crossing, we were very proud of our people, relatives, and the homeland. I met my beloved sons, family, relatives, and people.
I was tortured in isolated underground cells because I did not confess anything. In the beginning of my imprisonment, I refused to speak. Then I discovered I was pregnant. I announced a hunger strike, and my announcement way was different from the way now made by the prisoners.
Umm Mahmoud al-Zaq, a released prisoner, has suffered a lot from imprisonment. She withstood against torture apparatus. She was a good example in standing against the enemy and in belonging to home.
It was not just to say I announced hunger strike. I refused to have meals from the Israeli canteen, and I used to tell them, I do not have an appetite. This statement was my slogan, which confused the officers. It would have been easier for them if I simply said I was hunger striking.
With silently crying eyes seeking to meet their beloved imprisoned son, and raising victory signs in reference to keep demonstration, as long as their sons are imprisoned in the Israeli jails, prisoners' families marched to the International Committee of the Red Cross, ICRC office in Gaza on Mondays to send their message to the world. Abu Sharif, a father of a prisoner in Israeli jail, talks about prisoners' situation, suffering of prisoners' families, and their weekly demonstration.
The Monday demonstration is sacred. We have to demonstrate in solidarity with the prisoners. We call for prisoners' freedom and good treatment instead of maltreating them inside the Israeli jails.
The main players of the international community, they support Israel by a way or another, and they lived a long time ago in conspiracy of silence, which gives the Israel the green light to violate and to increase their violations against the Palestinians.
In the journey for covering another suffering, we met Umm Nidal, a mother of two long-term prisoners, aged and burdened with life bitterness. A journey of 1,000 miles begins here.
Dia was jailed at the age of 16 on October the 10th, 1992. Next month, Dia will be 22 years old. He executed a heroic resistance operation for the sake of his people and cause. This is why the Israelis arrested him. Muhammad, who is 22 years old, has been detained since he was 11. He was 11 when his brother was arrested. He's been imprisoned for 11 years. We used to visit him fortnightly. To us, the visit day was like a festival or a pilgrimage. Actually, as if we're going to visit the Prophet or the Kaaba. The night before the visit, we felt that we were really going to the Kaaba. They were our sons in the jail. It was absolute rejoice. We were not able to sleep the night before the visit. We stayed up all night waiting for the visiting time next day. But since the imposal of the Shalit law, Gaza families have been prohibited from visiting their sons in prison.
Muhammad Nashabat, a recently released prisoner, is still receiving his friends and relatives, telling them about the pains of the prison.
Interrogation was miserable. It was unbelievable. First of all, the investigation was psychiatric torture. I was tied by the hands and legs, and my head covered with a foul-smelling bag. My clothes torn and my body partially naked. The jailers used to force me to stay in this manner for 3 or 4 hours. Then they forced me to keep standing for 4 to 10 hours in miserable humiliation, sleepless, without looking at what was going on around me. I was not allowed to sleep or to sit down. When I surrendered to sleep, I was suddenly beaten. I suffered from this interrogative method for 28 days. International law, including the Fourth Geneva Convention, is applicable in occupied territories like Palestine, including the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and Jerusalem. According to the convention, the law of war is applicable in these territories. So anyone arrested by a military occupation in occupied territories is called a civilian prisoner, not a prisoner of war. This is the general basis.
هذه هي القاعدة العامة.
حمل ثقيل يعني. هذا متجوز وعنده أسرة وسوى ثنتين وبيت
ملوش. It is really a big burden. He is married and has a family and 2 wives. He does not have a house. They have lived in a room in my house since he was arrested. They suffer a lot. Even his first wife is not allowed to visit him in the prison. The absence of the father makes a big problem. In our Arab culture, the father, with the mother's assistance, is the only one who can raise his children well. So they suffer from his absence psychologically and socially.
Men's eyes do not tear, but refuse tyranny. The son and mother of the prisoner are preoccupied with unforgettable memories.
Sharif used to come here in the kitchen every Friday on his way to the mosque close to our place.
الأسبوع الأول أنا ما شفتش طعم النوم ولا الراحة كنت مشبوهة.
In the first week, I was not able to sleep or relax. I was tied by the hands and legs to a middle chair, bowing forward sometimes and backward with the hands tied to the legs from the back other times. I estimated these stays lasted from 8 to 10 hours each day. I was even prohibited from praying on the chair. During this week, I refused to talk about anything related to the occupied territories. I was tortured physically and psychologically.
طالما
الأسر إبعاد الإنسان وسلخ الإنسان عن الحياة الطبيعية فله أثر شديد.
As long as imprisonment isolates a human from a normal life, it has severe effects on his or her psychology and mentality. This means a human lacks a normal life and communication with people and turns him or her to living an abnormal life. Sometimes solitary confinement aims to deprive a human of his or her natural psychology and intellectuality. Imprisonment forces a human to live an abnormal life full of difficulties, isolated from normality and deprived of a family and loved ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
بالإسلام دينا.
In the name of Allah, Salamun Alaikum, welcome. This is another episode of today's special, and we're speaking about moderation in Islam.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you. Until I took the first step, and that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Today, Tuesday, 17th of Rabiul Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Aban, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of November, 2023, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. It's a good time to listen to one verse of one of the chapters of the Holy Quran for today's chapter, Al-Isra, verse 110.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. قل ادعوا الله أو ادعوا الرحمن أيما تدعوا فله الأسماء الحسنى ولا تجهر بصلاتك ولا تخافت بها وابتغ بين ذلك سبيلا.
Say, call upon Allah or call upon the Most Merciful, whichever name you call. To him belong the best names. And do not recite too loudly in your prayer or too quietly, but seek between that an intermediate way.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The noble verse implies neither recite it with a loud voice nor in a state of worshipping it, in which case your lips might be moving and no voice heard. Incidentally, we have it in the Shia and Sunni quotations that the Lord has got 99 names, and whoever calls him by one of them will succeed and will be saved. However, we must know that when speaking of numerating of these names, it does not mean that we utter them so as to enter the paradise or become the one whose prayers are accepted. On the contrary, they are intended for us to be inculcated with the values attached to them and implementing of those values relating to the names. The significance of moderation in Islam. Our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, taught us to devote our time to both our religious practices as well as our worldly affairs and responsibilities. Islam lies in between the extremes of those who fully reject the world and those who completely immerse themselves in worldly pleasures and material possessions. We can find many examples of how Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, exemplified moderation in other areas of his life, including his diet. The Prophet said, "A human being feels no worse vessel than his stomach. It is sufficient for a human being to eat a few mouthful to keep his spine straight.
But if he must fill it, then one third for food, one third for drink, and one third for air.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today in this show, we are trying to talk about the significance of moderation in Islam. Extremism is not only about overburdening or overdoing things. It also refers to the other extreme opposite, which is ignoring and abandoning the commandments of Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as praying or fasting in Ramadan. With all the different examples of extremism mentioned in this show, we can conclude that some forms of extremism are more severe than others, making it detrimental to the individual and even to society. This shows us that there are different levels and degrees of extremism which often require different approaches to tackle them. So how can we develop a sort of moderation in our religious practices and avoid extremism? The idea of being moderate in every aspect of our life is the idea that we can try to strive towards. Not only does it lead to a balanced life for individuals, but it also allows society to thrive peacefully. This is in contrast to extremism, which tends to cause harm to oneself and others.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio. Let's look at the ways to help us live consistently and constantly by moderation. Yes, the topic of this episode is moderation. Managing time is the key for success. If you manage your time correctly, you can do everything you want. You first have to set your list of priorities, starting with the most important, then the less important. You should make the best use of every second in your life. On your way to work or on your way back home, you can turn good deeds into acts of worship. For example, you can read the Quran, remember God, seek His forgiveness while you are on the bus or the train. We have a good example in the life of Prophet. Aisha was once said, "What did the Prophet used to do in his house?" She replied, "He used to keep himself busy serving his family, and when it was time for prayer, he would go out for it." The Prophet used to help his wives with the housework. This is a worldly affair. However, when the time of prayer came, he left everything and went to the mosque to offer the prayer. Allahu, Allahu, Allahu. About moderation, that is a virtue. We can say being moderate in our day-to-day affairs is very important in order to live a peaceful life. The religion of Islam promotes and encourages moderation in all aspects of life. Many religious experts are of the opinion that moderation is a center point between two extremes. Thus, being moderate helps a person to live a balanced and purposeful life. Furthermore, it is a positive and admirable trait to be within reasonable limits. Also, moderation refers to an admirable character that falls between two opposite ideologies. The true concept of moderation is to live in peaceful and spread mercy and compassion. irrespective of the differences within a society. The principle of moderation can be interpreted in a variety of ways. It defines how a Muslim interacts with his fellow Muslims as well as non-Muslims.
Islam, at the same time that it calls us to pray, to fast, and to work for the akhirah, but at the same time, the hadith says, لا رهبانية في الإسلام. In Islam, there's no such thing as fasting all year long and praying all night long and not getting married and not having children and living as monks in the mountains or in caves. The life of celibacy. There's no such thing in Islam. Islam says, worship Allah Azza wa Jal, but at the same time, live your life. Live your life. Get married, have children, work for them, provide for them. Let them live a nice life. In another hadith, النظافة من الإيمان, cleanliness is from faith. Because in some religions, they believe that not to shower, not to wash, not to change their clothing, to same the same clothes, that is what God wants. Because to shower and to wash, that is worldly. You're attaching yourself to dunya. To change your clothing, to wear new clothing or clean clothes, that's worldly. That's an attachment to dunya. So it's better not to wash, not to change clothes, not to wash your clothing and remain dirty. Islam says, no. النَّظَافَةُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. When you wash, when you're clean, that is part of faith. Your faith draws you to be clean. To be clean outwardly and inwardly. Physically clean and spiritually clean. النَّظَافَةُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. There's no contradiction between being clean physically, your clothing, your body, and to be faithful and to be righteous. They go hand in hand. They're very compatible. There's no contradiction whatsoever. When it comes to being attacked, this is where Islam is in the middle ground. This ummah is the moderate ummah. It's the moderate nation. Islam says, do not attack others. Do not harm others. Don't go around killing. Don't go around harming. Don't go around stealing. Don't harm others. Don't extend your hand to harm others. But at the same time, if someone hits you, then you hit him back. You retaliate. You seek vengeance. And you seek revenge. But according to that crime, if you were attacked, you attack similarly to receive your right.
That was all for this episode of today's special. Thank you for joining us and have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. La ilaha illallah, الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. Thank you.
lullaby, my darling. Lullaby, my son, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. I've dug the earth with my hands, my bare hands. I've searched for my roots in this soil, this holy land, the land which is yours and which is mine, Palestine. And you, good earth, glorious land, son to you, see, I offer my son to you, only to you. I lifted his head from his mother's arms, I put him on your chest, still in red, to water you, you of my roots, Palestine, 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 Palestine. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my child, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since the story of my anger and your blood, the story of our mother's tears and your brother's cry, have to take us on, have to take us on. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my dear, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since somebody inside my aching heart, somebody inside our land, our blood joins in sacrifice, sacrifice. Your blood roots me here, this land.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines, day 27 of the Israeli onslaught on Gaza. The regime pounds different areas in the besieged territory, including a UN-run school. UN Health Agency calls for an urgent access for humanitarian aid into Gaza, where the civilian population is in dire need of basic supplies. And in Iran, President Raisi says U.S. is the root cause of crimes being committed in the Gaza Strip.
Hello and welcome, everybody. Here in the Iranian capital, Tehran, this is World News. Our top story for this half hour, it's the 27th day since Israel launched its war on the Gaza Strip. Israel is now pounding the besieged territory.